Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
I want to teach something here. If there are two things, if I said you want to see your life completely different, radically changed, start to see immediate transformation, you do two things. One, you'd begin to read your Bible every day. Let God speak to you. Listen, one of the hallmarks of religion is that it makes them versus us. There's one person who can hear from the Lord, and the rest of you have to listen. But when Jesus came and he said, "It is finished," it says the veil to the Holy of Holies, to access to God, where only one man got to go once a year, was torn from the top down. It wasn't man tearing it, it was God said, "It is finished. My people have access to me." And God uses his word to ignite with the Holy Spirit that he puts inside you when you put your faith in him. And he gives you rhema word, which means it's a word you can stand on. So read your Bible. Next thing I would tell you is learn how to worship and praise. Learn how to worship and praise. The Bible says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. And when you praise God, the Bible also says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving, but we enter his courts with praise. Before I preach this word, because I promise it's a good word, I want our hearts to get right. I want our hearts to get in line with heaven. So I don't want you to worry about your neighbor, and I don't want you to worry if you're a good singer or not. God likes your voice, and that's all that matters. But I want you just to lay down any performance. And just right now, we're going to exalt God for who he is. I don't care what you're facing. Don't think about that right now. Just declare that he reigns, that he reigns. Come on, let's begin to sing it. Come on, worship team, let's go. Our God reigns. Come on.
Our God reigns.
Come on.
Our God reigns. Forever your kingdom reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Forever your kingdom
God that his voice created the universe. You got to understand, we're just learning how big this thing is. There's billions of galaxies. In every galaxy, there's billions of stars that make our teeny little sun look like nothing. And everywhere we look, we see big, big. And in all that vastness, God decided he wanted to make something that he could love and that could love him back.
Yeah.
And that's me. And that's you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
You want to know why things are so crazy in the world? It's because God won't violate free choice. We can't love him if we don't have the opportunity to choose him. He's already declared everyone in this room loved, forgiven, purposeful. He has let on that cross, when he went to that cross, he removed all punishment, all judgment, because God is just. He will never not be just. I heard a quote, I think it was Richard Dawkins, that said, God's a fairy tale for people who are afraid of the dark. I want to propose to you that atheism is a fairy tale for those who are afraid of the light. Atheism, I didn't just come up with that. I heard another preacher say it. I just don't want to take it. But I'm just saying. Because one day the light will step in full glory. And those who know Jesus, it'll be a glorious day. But all the wrongs will be righted. Either they were righted on the cross or they get righted on that day. Because God is just, but he is love. He is love and he loves you. He declared it on the cross and then he came out of the grave and he said, this is yours now. This is yours. We have the love letter. This is my OG Bible, by the way. If after time your Bible doesn't start to look like that, you know, dirty Bible, clean Christian. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When this word starts to get in here, Jesus said, whenever Jesus' power showed up, he said, the kingdom has come here. The kingdom. You got to understand, this kingdom is going to win. This kingdom is winning. It's just bad news sales. Turn off the news for a while. Get in the word. Tonight we're going to read, or tonight, today, we're going to read the word. Feels like a Wednesday night. I like it. I'm going to read scripture, but here's the deal. You choose to come in agreement. And the Bible says that that same God who, when he speaks, galaxies are created, watches after his word to perform it. Hear this. He watches after his word to perform it. The word of God, the word of God in your mouth has the same potency as the word of God in Jesus' mouth. It's not you, it's the word. God looks after his word. We apply that to our life. We begin to see the supernatural. That's why Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, by the way, amazing offering message, Rich. You are such a preacher. I love you. I get excited every time I give you that mic. I never know what's going to happen, but I get excited. But he writes, he says, the gospel, it's not a matter of words. It's a matter of power. When you believe the words of God, the power begins to flow. So we're going to read a Bible passage today. But I want you guys to lean in and realize this is God writing to you. It's a promise. And when we learn how to contend and fight for what God has promised, we begin to see that this gospel is not just a matter of words. It's a matter of power. Come on, Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you that your power is coming to Salt Lake. We thank you, Lord, that you're transforming this city. We thank you, Lord, that you choose your vessels, your church, your ecclesia, your called out ones to carry the good news, to manifest the good news. Lord, as we manifest your goodness in this valley, we declare that homelessness is gonna stop. We declare that abortion clinics are gonna shut down. We declare that truth is gonna enter in, that people will see the goodness of God. Miracles will break out. People will get healed. And God, you show that through your people. So tonight, today, this morning, this afternoon, we declare you're good. You are good, and we receive your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Can we thank this amazing worship team? Wow. You guys got to understand. Daylight saving. These guys have been here since 6 a.m. And then after all that, they think they're done. I'm like, do a song again. You guys are amazing. We love you. All right. Go take a break, guys. You deserve it. Give your neighbor a high five and grab a seat. Come on. You know that God's in it because both services I have finished early.
Wow.
And it's going to happen, but it's good. It's potent. It's potent. It's really one point. So I want to start in a scripture, Romans. I'm a little feedbacky, guys. I don't know if it's me or this, but Romans 8, 31 through 37. The title of my message is Back to the Future. That will come back and I'll make sense in a minute. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Man, it's beautiful. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? As it is written, just going a little OG for the people here, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to the slaughter, to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Somebody say conquerors.
Conquerors.
It's kind of a funny group word to say. Y'all sound a little different. All right. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Leave that verse up for a minute. We are more than conquerors for him who loves us, or through him and for him. That works out pretty good too. Through him and for him who loves us. Now listen, I like to dig in sometimes on words to make sure, you know, like I get the full depth, because that's a pretty bold statement, more than conquerors. Conquerors is already like a strong word. So he's like, I need to go stronger than more than conquerors. The NLT says overwhelming victory. And so I went down to the original Greek, and this Greek is that more than conquerors is one word. It's hypernikio. Nailed that, by the way. Hypernikio. Nailed it that time. Let me have a drink of water here. You guys got me all hyped up with that worship song. Thank you, Jesus. It means complete, overwhelming, absolute, dominating victory. It is the highest word that they could find. That it's not like a, you know, like the Super Bowl this year where it was an OT and it was a close game. I think it was rigged anyways. I'm not going to complain. My Niners fans, you know the pain. But it's not a close match. He's trying to say that this is the kind of game where by the halftime they're putting in the fourth string people that haven't played all season and saying, play whatever position you want. We are so far ahead, there is no hope for the opposition to come back. Come on, this is an overwhelming victory. And so Paul's trying to get to the church. He's saying, you have to understand, we haven't even fathomed fully what we have in Christ. Because the transaction was him for us. He became us on the cross. But he then gave us him. The Holy Spirit comes in you. You have that God living inside of you. You are now the temple. That's why the veil, part of the reason why the veil was torn is that God said, I'm going to live in my people now. So we have overwhelming victory. Amen. We have access to overwhelming victory. Yep. Okay? So we're winners. Awesome. But we still have a battle. Okay? I don't spend a whole lot of time. I want to encourage you as a Christian. Don't slip into that trap where you're blaming the devil for everything. Right. Some people get hyper-focused on the devil. We don't give him a lot of attention because it's not a yin and yang, okay? It's not like God and devil. It's not the force, the dark side and the bright side. They're not equal. They're not equal. God is way up here, okay? Jesus and Satan weren't relatives, okay? Satan was a fallen angel, Revelation says, the Bible says, okay? Jesus is up here and the devil's way down here. And he has no hope to the power. Just like you can't overwhelm light with darkness. You can't add more darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. But once light's in, there's no extra darkness you can throw on it. God is at the top. And he's given us access. So we have a battle. And the battle, listen, the devil hasn't changed his playbook for 7,000 years, however long ago. He hasn't changed his playbook. He's not creative, but he's consistent. Same attack always. Same attack always. That's why the Bible says that we need to be, 2 Corinthians, where is that? 2 Corinthians 7:14. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The devil keeps his attack the same. He's gonna attack, did God really say? Is God really who he says he is? And does he really believe what he said? Has he made you who he said he made you to be? He's gonna attack your identity and God's identity. That's the only way, because if we are aware, if our thoughts are captive to the goodness of God, he has no hope. So he's consistent that he goes after, look at Adam and Eve, okay? Comes to Adam and Eve, the first exposure to the devil. He says, did God really say? Attacks God's word. Then he attacks God's character. God doesn't want you to eat it because he's insecure, is essentially what the devil says to him. He's insecure, that's why. You'll actually be great if you disobey him. Attacks his character, and he'll always attack those two, and then what he really wants to get to is your identity. See, God said he made us in the garden in his image, but he was trying to flip the identity and say, oh, you're not really like God. If you do this, then you will be. And he keeps the same pattern. Look at him confronting Jesus. Jesus gets the, so little Bible lesson here. John the Baptist was named John the Baptist because he baptized Jesus, okay? Fitting name. And so Jesus gets baptized. At that moment, the skies open up. Jesus hasn't started his ministry yet. This is the point. God declares what you are before the fruit shows. The kingdom's like a seed, the Bible says. The kingdom is in seed form. He kept saying that. He puts it in you and then it blossoms. Yeah. The problem with a lot of religious people is they go around grabbing fig leaves and covering themselves and saying, look at my fruit. But it's not, it's, that's just dying. Wow. It's death.
Wow, that's good.
Plants,
yeah, so good.
Plants die. The kingdom comes in seed form. Okay, it comes in seed. The word comes in seed form. You read the word, you start to believe it. The fruit starts to go in your life. So the devil's always gonna attack the identity. God says, he splits the sky open when Jesus is baptized. He hasn't even done his ministry yet. He says, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. He was pleased with Jesus before any of the ministry started. Whom I'm well pleased. What's the devil do immediately? Takes him out in the wilderness. It challenges his identity. If you are the son of God. If you are. Same game plan. He's been doing it because it works for him. So our battle then, to see that overwhelming kingdom, that more than conqueror, is to make sure we are insulated and protected from our identity attacks and God's, who God is. That's why you wanna have the word in your life daily, because it's God's love letter to you. It keeps you calibrated, it keeps you focused. All right, so that's how the enemy works. Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. How's he gonna devour you? He's gonna try to disqualify you. How's he gonna try to disqualify you? Well, listen, the devil is not all-knowing and all-present. That's a God attribute, not the devil's attribute. So all he has is your past. Does this make sense? He doesn't have the future. If he knew the future, he would never have put Jesus on that cross. That was a massive blunder on his part. He cost himself everything by doing that. He doesn't know the future. So listen, the devil's not, he is gonna try to get you to go back to your past when things come up and then try to whisper to you, that's your future.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. That's your future. He uses the past to take to sidetrack you from God's future for you. Okay, let me tell you a story and then we're gonna get into some good stuff. 7 years ago when our firstborn son was just in mama's tummy and growing and about to be born, one morning my wife woke up with extreme back pain, like couldn't hold down food, just excruciating pain. We rushed her to the hospital and it was just a nightmare of a day. She's in extreme pain. They get her up in her room. The hospital bed breaks in half and she falls flat on the floor, 9 months pregnant. Side note, God uses all things for good. We did not get charged a dime for that person, a dime. I'm not saying I would take her falling for that, but I'm just saying God's brought some good out of it. I got VIP parking. Yeah, We were treated like royalty in that hospital the rest of the time. But for 6 weeks, my wife was in the hospital on liquid Dilaudid, which is concentrated morphine.
So good.
Come on. A couple people that have gone through recovery are like, yeah, man. It's funny for her to say that because she's like the most not addictive nature person I've ever met. That would be more something that would come from me. Yeah, so she's up in space for about 6 weeks. Yes. Truly, but I'm very much present. And it was a very scary time because, you know, I love doctors and nurses. I'm thankful for them. But good Lord, nobody trains them how to, like, bring any hope into a situation. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, and I get it. Like, we don't want to overpromise anything. But I'm like, okay, doc, just, you know. And so they were just coming in. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. At first, they're thinking it's skeletal muscular, but it was like, it wasn't. She was having all these crazy test results. And, you know, and at one point, they come in and they're like, we think her kidneys are failing. And of course, me like a smart person, I'm Googling kidney failure. Oh, you know, like, don't Google the stuff, people. You are not a doctor. It doesn't help you. If you look up runny nose, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm dying. You know, don't. Google is not helping either. And then they come in and they're like, we think she's septic, which is like basically something's dead inside of her. And then they come in again. They're like, oh, all this painkiller we're pumping full of her liver's shutting down. I'm like, oh, and I'm Googling all this while she's up in the sky. And it was a very scary 6 weeks. Now that was in the past. Now God's good. My son is perfectly healthy. They told me too, my son would be born addicted to opioids because of all the drugs she was on. And he'd have to take medicine to get unaddicted. He came out, didn't have a single sign of that. Never been addicted once. He'll never have addiction. Healthy, whole, little early, but he was fine. And Lauren was fine, obviously, spoiler alert, she made it, you know, like. But it was a really rough 6 weeks. So fast forward to this week. Wife wakes up in the middle of the night with the same symptom. And you know, I'm such a man of faith. First thing I did is I completely went back to 7 years ago. Wow. I started thinking, oh my gosh, I can't do 6 weeks in the hospital. Oh my gosh, it almost, according to the doctors, almost killed her last time. You know, I started rehearsing all the worst case scenario, all the stuff. You know, I even like started to like look up my insurance. I'm like, do I have a cap on this insurance? Like what, you know, just all the stuff. And I was, and she's in that pain. It looks exactly the same. And I was using the past to decide what my future would be and to prepare for the future. I was using the past. I was going back, but bringing it to my future. And thank God for godly chiropractors. Amen. We went into Dr. Anthony's office. He goes to our church. I don't know if he's in this service. He was in the last service, but you know, and he's a Christian. He believes. And so I walk in and I'm spun out. I'm like, oh man, everything's going downhill. This is gonna be horrible. And I look up at him. I try to explain the traumatic story to him briefly because, you know, he's gonna adjust her. And sits her down and starts doing the chiropractor voodoo, like boop, boop, touching her and feeling her back. And all of a sudden he kind of like feels a vertebrae and he looks up at me and like with total faith, he said, what happened 7 years ago is not happening again. And then, you know, kapow, and adjusts her and freaks me out. Sounds like she broke her in half. But it wasn't the adjustment, although he's good at what he does. It was the look of faith that all of a sudden it was like, hey, Pastor Matt, wake up. What are you, which word are you, which verdict are you gonna go to? Which word are you gonna believe? Are you gonna let the past dictate the future? God doesn't want us to use the past to dictate the future. We use the past to remind us what we've come out of. We use the past to remind our future of the cross and the goodness of God. Yeah, I used to be this, but now I'm going this way. Yeah, I used to have this, but now I'm going this way. Our language has to be, we maybe went through that once, but God's good. So I got my faith back on. And obviously, she's here today and she hasn't had any painkillers in a couple days. Thank you, Jesus. And we're not gonna go back to that. We're not gonna go back to that. Listen, the Bible's really big on this. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures, but there's many. Philippians 3:13, brothers and sisters, do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. What's the one thing Paul does? Ready? Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Behold, the new has come. I felt God wanted to release this word. Listen, it was a long week for us. Okay, and on top of that, before all this happened, I was traveled to San Diego and came back. Like, it was a long week. And so I was tempted to pull out one of my old faithfuls, like a silver bullet message I've done back in my young adult days, and polish it up. But God was like, no, I want a now word. And I feel very strong for the Holy Spirit. This is a now word for our church. This is a now word for our church. If we will submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. James 4:7. I believe it's 4:7. Anyways, yep. If we will submit ourselves to God, what does that mean? It means we actually have a responsibility as believers to take our thoughts captive, going back to that original scripture, take our thoughts captive and hold them up against the word of God and say, am I meditating on this correctly? Or am I using the past to dictate my future? Am I using the past to decide what the future is? God says, forget what's behind you. Listen, you're on a forward motion. The devil doesn't use the future because he doesn't know it. But you know who does? God. And whenever the devil comes knocking on the door, or doubt or fear come knocking on the door, we need to train our brain. Train our brain and say, whoa. See, I was in a spiral. And all it took was one believer to go, that's not happening. And I went, Oh yeah, I'm a pastor. That's not happening. I read the Bible. That's not happening. I go to men's prayer. That's not happening. Okay, and I hold that up as a standard. And don't get me wrong. This isn't lucky rabbit's foot or coins in a pond. Okay, this is beginning to take the authority that Jesus gave me and learning how to pray from authority and declare the word of God until I see something happen. There's a great book called Push, Pray Until Something Happens. Should read it. It's by Pastor Jürgen Matthesius. But it's activating my faith muscle. It's activating my faith muscle, remembering that the gospel is not just a matter of words, but there's power behind this thing. That when Jesus says that by my stripes you are healed, I have to activate and claim that in my life. I come into agreement with that. And the enemy is trying to get you out of agreement. Out of agreement. I want to propose to you today that there's three areas that I believe God wants you to break ties with the past off of. Break your ties with the past and start letting him, his word, define your future. Okay, first one. Going back to Romans 8:37, throw it up. Overwhelming victory. That's NLT. More than conquerors. First one, you are going to be more than a conqueror in relationships. Do not let past in relationships define you. Married couples, don't let the last fight define your marriage. Don't let the last battle define your marriage. Don't let the separation 6 years ago define your marriage. The past is where the enemy can ruin marriages. He can't touch the future unless you come in agreement. Let's break off the past. You are going to be more than conquerors. You're going to have a passionate, romantic, loving relationship. All the words. You're going to be connected. Okay? You got to start to declare that, and then you'll take steps. Listen, I'll take a pause real quick. I didn't do this one yet. Ladies, I'm going to give a little pro tip. Guys, you can check out because this is for the ladies. Men will not compete if they don't see a way they could win. They will not fight if they don't see a win. That's man 101. That's why we do really rough, intimidating games at Emerge, because we got to get men in the game again.
Yeah, that's good.
Men need to bleed a little bit. They need a struggle. We need a fight. And men will fight for their bride if they see a path to victory. Okay, I just that's a freebie. Somebody maybe needs to say, you know, make sure that when he makes a step in the right way, there's a cheerleader there. Hurrah, hurrah. That's a freebie. This will help, okay? If you have any more questions, go to Scott and Ann Travis. They can help you. You're going to win in your relationships, and not just marriage, friendships. You know, you go to a connect group, and it's fun for a while, but then somebody says something that maybe irks you. What's the enemy do? Oh, remember your friend group in high school, how they were all backstabbers, and remember that business partner that stabbed you in the back, he brings up all the failed relationships, all the failed friendships. Gets you blinded to, man, there are good people here. Not perfect. Okay? Maybe Vince Craig, but all the rest of us, not perfect. Probably Debbie Smith too, but the rest of us, not perfect, but we're going after Jesus. And you have community here that you can trust. But if the enemy can get you just slightly offended, here's another pro tip. What other people say about you is none of your business. Learn to just not care. When you do that and you give your PR over to God, he's a great PR person. God is my vengeance. If somebody lies about me, I let God deal with it. And when I forgive, I don't give them blank check. I hand them back over to God, who's just and good and right. I just forgive and say, that's not true, but I forgive. You know, and if you have to, if it's a dear friend and it's causing a gap, have a good, meaningful conversation where the goal is not see what you did. The goal is I'd like to restore connection. You're going to win in relationships. More than conquerors in relationships. Number two, you are more than conquerors in your circumstances. Going back again, I think some people in here, you got a performance review coming up. And the enemy's like, remember all the times you were let down in the last performance interviews? Remember when that didn't happen? And it gets your head in this place. Or, you know, you've got a contract on the line, a job you're trying to close, a big contract, and it's like, oh, remember all those ones you lost? No. Begin to say, I'm more than a conqueror. Sure, my car might have got repossessed then, but it isn't getting repossessed now. Sure, we might have had back bills then, but it's not gonna happen now. Begin to speak more than a conqueror. Why? Because God said it. He likes it when we remind him of his word. He likes it. You know, he did it with Moses. God was like, all right, I'm done with the whiners. We're gonna start over with you, Moses. And Moses talks, guys, says, God, you delivered him. He likes it when we bring these things up. All right, more than conquerors in circumstances. And finally, the last one I feel, and when we're gonna pray for everyone and close up, you're gonna win in yourself. What do I mean? Some of you, you've been battling maybe cycles of negative behavior. Maybe you feel like, man, I just keep going down the same track. Man, I was doing so good, but now I'm drinking this again. Man, I was doing so good, but now I'm looking at this again. Man, I was doing so good, but now I'm back here again. The enemy just wants to say, see, it's never gonna change. But God wants you to be and say, no, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus. I am not gonna agree with the past. I will go back and say, God is good to that. And release that and forgive and do the God things there. But I look forward to the future, forgetting what is behind me. I look forward towards the goal, the prize. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Listen to me. When he says he wants faith, it says in Hebrews, I want faith. And faith is believing that God rewards those who diligently seek him. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna ask everyone for a second to bow their heads. And real quick, if you're not, see, it says we're more than conquerors in Christ, in Jesus. If you're not in relationship with Jesus, meaning you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you've heard the name, but you don't have a relationship with him. Or maybe you just feel so far from God. Like at one point you feel like you kind of did, but you've been off the rails and today you're saying, you know what? Jesus, I'm coming back to you. Or Jesus, I need to get you in my life because that transaction's real. Jesus already declared, listen to me if you're one of those two people, you don't have to raise your hand yet. He already declared, I chose you. He's already said it. He said it on the cross. I chose you. I love you. You're forgiven. But because he wants beings that can love him, you have to choose to accept it. He declared it already. It's a done deal on his end, but you have to receive. So if that's you and you need to receive God's love, you're not in a relationship with him. You don't know him. He's already, today he's inviting you. He's saying, son, daughter, I'll forgive you. I'll take you in the family and I'll begin to do my great plans I have for you if you'll receive me. So if that's you, you need to receive Jesus today. With everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, it's just between you and God. Will you just stick your hand in the air real quick? Once I've seen it, you can put it down, but you're just acknowledging I need you, God. Thank you, I see your hand. 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 Come on. We're clapping, we're not looking, but we're clapping because we're proud. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? I feel like there's somebody in here. Your dad was a very, very passionate atheist. And he told you that this was all manipulation. But you feel something right now, and that's God tugging at your heart. And I just, if that's you, I just want you to know Jesus is real and he loves you. God's real and he loves you. Is there one more person who just says, all right, I need Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, everyone look up at me. Those who raise your hand, let's give a hand for those who raise their hand. Look, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Now, what? It's your faith. It's you saying, I believe what I'm saying. That makes the power transaction. It's you putting your faith in God. And God says, I only need a little. I need faith of a mustard seed. And you're gonna receive forgiveness, all your sins, past, present, future. You're forgiven. No longer are they held over you. Once and for all, it's settled. You'll be loved. You're in the family of God. Heaven's your home. And while you're waiting for the final destination, the home's gonna start to invade your world. And God's gonna show you the plans he has for your life. So we're gonna pray. Say this out loud, mean it from your heart. Now, those who are already believers in the room, why don't you pray out loud with them so they don't feel alone and they don't feel like they're the only ones. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, this afternoon, I surrender to your love. I believe that you died on that cross for me. And because you paid that price, I am now forgiven. I am loved. I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home. I repent of my sins and I give them to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I believe that today is a brand new beginning. Show me your plans. In your name I pray. Amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen. For more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.